All right, welcome back everybody for another deep dive. And today we are going to try to unravel, I guess you could say, a real life mystery that's happening right here in Shawnee.
Oh, wow.
And
Got
it
it.
has to do with some agreements, some really old agreements that are still in effect today
Oh.
about the land surrounding Shawnee Regional Airport.
Yeah, and what's really captivating about this particular deep dive is we're not just looking at the runway.
Right.
We're looking at a network of smaller parcels all around it.
Right.
Think of it like a puzzle with all these pieces of history, and they're all connected by this fascinating agreement back in 1947 between the City of Shawnee and the War Assets Administrator.
Yeah, and we've got a lot of different types of sources that we're going to be looking at today, property records meeting minutes from who knows how long ago,
Right.
and even some firsthand accounts, which are always fun.
Always interesting.
Yeah, to kind of piece together a picture of what's going on. And really, the mission today is to help you, the listener, understand what this 1947 agreement actually means, how it's been handled over the decades, and what the implications could be for things like land use, the city's finances,
Right.
and ultimately the Shawnee community as a whole.
It's a perfect example of how decisions made decades ago can still have a ripple effect today.
In ways we might not expect,
right?
Sometimes unexpected ways, yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So let's set the stage a little bit, shall we? It's 1947. The U.S. government, they've got tons of surplus property after World War II,
Oh, yeah.
including airports.
Right.
So they decide to transfer this property to local governments,
Right.
and that is how Shawnee ends up owning Shawnee Regional Airport.
But this is where the story gets interesting.
Oh, here
This transfer happened under the Surplus Property Act of 1944.
we. Okay.
And this act was designed to help the U.S. get rid of just a huge amount of property after the war. I
Wow.
mean, everything from planes to buildings to whole military bases, it was all up for grabs. And
Wow.
the idea was to get this stuff back into civilian life and kickstart the economy, which I can understand.
Right. Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, so that's how Shawnee got the airport land. But there's a catch.
Okay.
It came with some very specific restrictions on how the land could be used, leased, or even sold.
Oh,
And the
thanks.
craziest part is those restrictions are still in effect today,
Oh, wow.
all these years later.
So could the city just like decide, oh, we're going to turn this into a giant, I don't know, water park or something?
No, not quite. The agreement very clearly states that the land must be used for public airport purposes.
Oh, okay. So.
Now, you might think that sounds straightforward, but it actually leaves a lot of room for interpretation, which is what makes it so fascinating.
Okay, the classic gray area.
Yeah, the gray area.
Right.
It's great. For example, manufacturing is specifically prohibited.
Okay.
But what about other types of commercial use?
Oh, interesting.
Like, where do you draw that line?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah, so that's one of the big questions we're looking at today.
And this is where it gets, I think, a little more personal for you, the listener, because the research actually mentions a specific business that is located on this airport land.
Okay.
And it's described as like an inflatables business.
Interesting.
Now, were you aware that there were businesses operating on this airport land? It's not something that, you know, most people will just know off the top of their head.
Right,
It
yeah.
really makes you think.
And that really highlights the complexity of this 1947 agreement.
Right.
And honestly, that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Oh, no.
It gets more interesting.
Okay.
The source material we're using, it claims that the mayor at some point stated that some of this land had actually been sold.
Oh, wow.
And they're specifically talking about the pit stop.
Okay.
But this contradicts all of the official records, which clearly list the city as the current owner.
Wait, so we've got conflicting information about who owns the land. Did somebody forget to file some paperwork? Or is there something else going on here?
Yeah, that's a great question. That's exactly what we're trying to figure out, right?
Right.
And as we dive deeper into this, we have to consider the financial side of this agreement.
Right.
So the city was allowed to lease the land,
Okay.
but any revenue generated from those leases had to be used for airport-related purposes.
Okay.
And the city was supposed to keep clear and transparent records of how those funds were being used.
That sounds reasonable.
Makes sense, right? Airports are expensive.
Yeah.
They got to keep the lights on.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the big question is, did the city of Shawnee actually follow through on that transparency?
Ah, so that's the question, isn't it?
That's the big question, yeah.
Okay, so what did our source, what did they find?
Well, according to the research, that's where things start to get a little murky. The source, they actually filed a formal request for detailed financial records from the city. We're talking about, you know, lease agreements, breakdowns of how the money was allocated, the whole nine yards.
Right, like the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And they filed this request using the Oklahoma Open Records Act, which, you know, gives anyone the right to request public information.
Right.
But what they found, or I guess what they didn't find, raises some serious concerns about the level of transparency here.
Okay, like what? What did they not find?
So get this. The city estimated it would take 125 hours of staff time to fulfill this request.
125?
Yeah.
To gather these records.
Yeah, and that translated to a prepayment invoice of over $11,000.
Wait, over $11,000 just to access public records? Why would it take so much time and cost so much money? I mean,
you're asking the right question.
It just doesn't add up.
Right, and it doesn't stop there.
This financial mystery gets deeper. The source makes some pretty serious allegations. They're claiming that several current and former city council members have direct ties to businesses that are operating on this land.
So we've gone from like a historical deep dive into now like a political thriller.
It's getting interesting.
I know, right?
And you know what? The source actually provides some pretty specific examples. They mention one council member who allegedly flipped the lease on the inflatables business.
Oh, wow.
And another council member whose brother runs a dental practice on the land.
I'm trying to wrap my head around all of this.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. Is this how business is just done, or is there something more nefarious going on here?
That's the question, right?
Right. It's like a real-life game of Monopoly, but with way higher stakes.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So this brings us to a critical question. What mechanisms are in place to ensure fairness in leasing this land? And making decisions about land use, right?
Right.
Are there safeguards to prevent favoritism or conflicts of interest?
Yeah.
That's something to keep in mind as we continue our deep dive.
Yeah, absolutely.
And just when you thought this couldn't get more interesting.
Buckle up.
We're about to uncover another financial head scratcher.
Okay.
And this one involves a proposed regional park that seems to have completely vanished.
A vanished park? Are you serious?
It's a story of broken promises.
Oh.
Potentially misused funds.
Oh.
And a whole lot of unanswered questions.
Okay, so take me back.
So back in the early 2000s, the people of Shawnee, they voted to approve a dedicated sales tax.
Okay.
To fund this new regional park. Plans were drawn up, locations were chosen.
Okay.
And then nothing.
Like it just poofed out of existence.
Yeah, like a magic trick gone wrong.
Millions of dollars.
And the source claims that millions of dollars were set aside for this project.
Millions of dollars.
Millions.
For this park.
Yeah, but then by 2011, all discussion about the park just ceased.
Wow.
No explanation, just silence.
So where did the money go?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it really underscores how important financial transparency and accountability are.
Right. Especially when we're talking about public funds.
Absolutely.
Right. This is our money.
Exactly. This is taxpayer money.
It's not just some abstract thing.
Yeah. Where it's going.
Real dollars. Right.
Yeah. We need answers.
Yeah.
We deserve answers.
All right. So where do we go from here? We've got this agreement from 1947.
Right.
We've got possible discrepancies about what's happening on this land.
Uh-huh.
We've got a lack of transparency about the finances. We've got questions about conflicts of interest.
Yeah.
And on top of all of that, we have a missing park.
Right.
It's like, it's almost overwhelming.
It's a lot to take in.
It is. It's a lot.
Yeah. And, you know, it truly highlights the importance of these types of agreements and the impact they can have on communities even decades later.
Right.
It's our responsibility as citizens to understand these agreements and hold our local governments accountable.
Yep.
And insist on transparency, especially when it comes to finances.
Yeah. And especially when we're talking about a park. I mean, this isn't just about money. This is about...
It's about people.
Opportunities for recreation, for people to come together as a community.
For quality of life.
For the city to benefit from all the good things that a park brings.
You hit the nail on the head.
Right.
Yeah. And this whole case makes you wonder, how common are these types of situations? Are there other communities out there struggling with similar agreements or lack of transparency in how their local government is operating?
That's such a good point. It makes me think about what might be happening in my own community.
It should.
I'm going to do some digging, that's for sure.
And that's the kind of reaction we hope to inspire with these deep dives.
Yeah.
Curiosity, a healthy dose of skepticism,
mm-hmm.
and the willingness to ask tough questions. Those are essential tools if we want to understand and navigate the complexities of local governance.
So, listener, we've really gone deep on this whole situation surrounding the land around the Shawnee Regional Airport.
Yeah.
What stands out to you?
Yeah.
What questions are you left with?
What are you thinking?
Yeah, what are you wondering about?
Yeah, because knowledge is power.
Right.
Arm yourself with information, stay engaged with what's happening in your local government.
Right.
And don't be afraid to dig a little deeper.
Yeah, you never know what you're going to find.
Sometimes that's where you find the most interesting information.
This deep dive has really underscored the importance of having local knowledge, you know?
Absolutely.
It's so easy to just go about our lives.
Right.
Without thinking about these types of agreements or how they might be impacting our communities.
We don't always think about the local stuff.
No.
We tend to focus on the national politics. But these decisions made at the local level,
right,
can have a much more immediate impact on our daily lives.
Right. Think about zoning regulations, school board decisions, infrastructure projects, you know, all that stuff that shapes our neighborhoods and our daily lives.
Right. Our quality of life.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And what's interesting about this case is we're not just talking about
right.
dry legal documents and financial records.
It's not just paperwork.
No, we're talking about real people, real businesses.
Right. Real people's lives.
Right. And the potential for those connections to influence decisions.
Right.
Like that council member who flipped the lease on the inflatables business.
Right.
That's the kind of thing that really makes it, you know, hit close to home.
It makes it real.
Yeah.
It's a reminder that local politics isn't just some abstract concept.
Right.
It's about relationships, power dynamics, and sometimes, unfortunately, personal gain.
Right.
And that's why transparency is so critical.
Absolutely.
Without it, you know, these relationships and power dynamics can operate in the shadows. It makes it much harder to hold people accountable.
Yeah, it's like shining a light into those dark corners.
Exactly.
And speaking of shining a light, I keep thinking about this missing park.
The missing park, I know.
It's heartbreaking that something that could have brought so much good to the community just seems to have vanished.
I know. And it's a powerful example of how lack of transparency can really erode the public's trust
right.
in their government.
Yeah.
When promises are made and tax dollars are allocated, the community deserves to know what's happening with those funds.
Absolutely.
And they deserve answers when those promises aren't kept.
Right.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder, are there other projects out there that have met a similar fate?
Right. That's the question.
You know, are there other parks, community centers, or essential services that have been neglected or forgotten?
Right. What else is out there?
Yeah.
What else is hidden?
Yeah. What else is hiding in plain sight?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And remember, you have a right to those answers.
Right.
You know, public records requests, like the one our source file,
right,
can be incredibly useful for uncovering information.
Yeah.
And holding our local officials accountable.
So if we had to boil all of this down to one piece of advice for our listeners, what would it be?
Stay curious.
Stay curious.
Don't just take things at face value. Ask questions. Dig deeper.
Yeah.
Your community deserves your attention, your engagement, and your willingness to speak up when something doesn't seem right.
And don't underestimate the power of your own voice.
Absolutely.
You know, whether it's attending city council meetings, writing letters to the editor,
right,
you know, even just having conversations with your neighbors.
Talking to people.
Yeah. Every action, no matter how small, contributes to a more informed and engaged community.
I couldn't agree more. And remember, you know, these deep dives are just the starting point.
Right.
It's up to each of us to continue that exploration.
Yeah.
Connect the dots in our own communities and be the change that we want to see.
That's it. That's what it's all about.
Until next time. Keep asking those tough questions.
And keep diving deep. Wow, it sounds like the city of Shawnee might have some explaining to do. This really highlights how important it is to stay informed and, you know, engaged with what's happening with
yeah.
your local government, because you have a right to know how your tax dollars are being used.
Absolutely.
And you know whether these agreements are being followed.
I completely agree. It's our responsibility as citizens, you know,
right.
to keep a close eye on these things.
Absolutely. So you mentioned that this land transfer happened under the Surplus Property Act of 1944.
Right.
And that was a very specific time in our history,
yeah.
right after World War II. So I think it's important to understand the context a little bit better
yeah.
to really grasp the complexities of this situation.
Absolutely. So remind me again, what was the Surplus Property Act all about?
Yeah, give us a little refresher.
Well, it was essentially a way for the U.S. government to get rid of a truly massive amount of surplus property that they were holding after the war.
I mean, we're talking about everything, right?
Yeah, everything. Everything from airplanes to buildings. I mean, even entire military bases.
Wow.
The goal was to reintegrate all these assets back into civilian life and just use them to boost the post-war economy.
So it sounds like Shawnee was getting a pretty incredible deal.
Yeah, they were getting a great deal.
They got land, buildings, even like office furniture, all transferred to them basically for free.
Yeah, basically.
But of course, as we've seen, those benefits came with some pretty significant strings attached. Those restrictions.
Right, those restrictions.
On how the land could be used.
Exactly. And those restrictions weren't just arbitrary.
Right.
They were put in place to make sure that this property continued to serve a public purpose, which in this case was as an airport.
Okay.
And, you know, air travel was growing so rapidly in the post-war era.
Right.
And the government wanted to make sure that these airports would be available to support that growth.
So they couldn't just be turned into like a giant parking lot.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Mm. They wanted to keep them as airports.
Right. Right. But going back to the language of public airport purposes.
Yeah.
You know, how much wiggle room is there really in that interpretation? Could the city argue that leasing the land to these businesses actually supports the airport in some way?
That's a really good question, and it's certainly possible the city could try to make that argument.
Right.
They might say that the revenue generated from those leases is being used to cover the cost of operating the airport.
Right.
Or they might argue that having businesses nearby provides, you know, useful services or amenities for travelers.
So there could be a legitimate, you know, financial justification?
Yeah, there could be.
But we also have these allegations about potential conflicts of interest.
Right, right.
With council members having ties to the businesses on the land.
And that's where the issue of transparency really becomes crucial.
Right.
If we find out that council members are personally benefiting from these leases, it raises some concerns about whether decisions are being made with the community's best interest in mind, or if personal gain is a factor.
Yeah, the whole thing just feels a bit icky.
It does. It does.
And to be honest, on top of all this, we have this mystery of this vanished regional park.
Right.
Voters of Shawnee approved a dedicated sales tax to fund this park. Plans were made, locations discussed.
Yeah.
And then poof, it's like the whole project just disappeared.
So strange.
That's a lot of money and a lot of broken promises.
Yeah, a lot of broken promises.
So what are we supposed to make of all this? I mean, we've got this agreement from 1947 that's still having repercussions today, possible discrepancies about what's happening with the land, lack of transparency when it comes to financial records, concern about conflicts of interest.
Right.
And to top it all off, a missing park.
It's almost too much.
It's a lot.
It's a lot to take in.
It really is.
And it really highlights the importance of these types of agreements,
yeah,
you know, and the impact they can have on communities even decades later.
Right.
And it's our responsibility to understand these agreements and hold our local governments accountable and insist on transparency, especially when it comes to finances.
And especially when it comes to a park. I mean, this isn't just about money.
Right. It's about people.
It's about opportunities, you know.
Quality of life.
For recreation, for people to come together, you know.
Right.
Yeah. As a community, for the city to benefit from all the good things that a park brings.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. And, you know, this whole case makes you wonder, how common are these types of situations? Are there other communities out there that are struggling with similar agreements or lack of transparency, you know, in how their local government is operating?
That's such a good point. It makes me think about what might be happening in my own community.
It should.
I'm going to do some digging after this, that's for sure.
And that's the kind of reaction we hope to inspire with these deep dives.
Yeah.
You know, curiosity, a healthy dose of skepticism.
Right.
And the willingness to ask tough questions.
Right.
Those are essential tools if we want to understand and navigate these complexities of local governance.
Absolutely. So, listener, we've really gone deep on this whole situation surrounding the land around the Shawnee Regional Airport. What stands out to you? What questions are you left with? What are you wondering about? Because knowledge is power, right?
Yeah.
So arm yourself with information, stay engaged with what's happening with your local government, and don't be afraid to dig a little deeper.
Yeah, you never know what you might find.
Sometimes that's where you find the most interesting stuff.
Exactly, that's where the good stuff is.
It's interesting, we started this whole deep dive focused on this agreement from 1947.
Right.
But it's really become about so much more than that.
It has.
I mean, we've uncovered a potential financial mystery.
Yeah.
Questions about transparency, local politics, and even this missing park.
A missing park.
It feels like we've only just scratched the surface.
That's the thing about these deep dives.
Right.
They often lead us down these really unexpected paths. And in this case, it's clear that that 1947 agreement is just one piece of a much larger puzzle. We've seen how decisions made decades ago can have these really fascinating ripple effects, shaping the present in ways that we might not even realize.
Yeah, it makes you wonder what other agreements or decisions from the past might be impacting our communities today. You know, it's like we're doing an archaeological dig.
It is.
And we're unearthing all these hidden layers of history.
Yeah. And just like with archaeology, the more we dig,
right,
the more we understand the complexities and the interconnectedness of the past and present.
Absolutely. And speaking of complexity.
Yeah.
I keep coming back to this issue of the missing regional park.
Yeah, that's a big one.
We know that a dedicated sales tax was approved, you know, plans were drawn up, locations were chosen, and then silence, it's as if the whole project just vanished.
Oof.
Into thin air.
It really is a potent example of how a lack of transparency and accountability can just erode public trust. You know, when promises are made and tax dollars are allocated, the community deserves to know what's happening.
Right. They deserve answers.
And they deserve answers when those promises are broken.
Absolutely. It makes you wonder if there are other projects out there that have met a similar fate. You know, are there other parks or community centers or essential services that have been neglected or just completely forgotten?
Those are good questions to ask. Those are questions worth asking in any community.
Right.
And remember, you have a right to those answers.
Yes.
Public records requests, like on our source file in this case,
right,
can be really useful for uncovering information and holding local officials accountable.
This has been such an eye-opening deep dive. I mean, we've learned about a decades-old agreement.
Wow.
With long-lasting implications, we've uncovered potential discrepancies in land use and finances, raised questions about transparency, potential conflicts of interest, and of course, we can't forget about that mysterious missing park.
The missing park.
It's a lot.
It's a lot, but it's also a reminder that local governance matters, you know? The decisions made at the city or county level often have a much more direct impact on our daily lives than those made on a national stage.
So true. So if we could leave our listeners with just one piece of advice, what would it be?
Stay curious, stay informed, and stay engaged.
Okay, I like that.
Don't be afraid to ask questions, dig deeper, and demand transparency from your elected officials.
Yeah.
Your community deserves your attention and your willingness to speak up for what matters.
Beautifully said. So remember, everyone, this deep dive is just the beginning.
Right.
It's up to each of us to continue the exploration, connect the dots in our own communities, and be the change we want to see.
Until next time, keep asking those tough questions.
And keep diving deep.